You take your Bibles and please turn to Mark chapter 16, and we're going to begin by reading verse 15 today. And then we'll be going to Acts chapter 1 and Matthew 28. So Mark 16, 15 to start with, and then Acts 1, and then Matthew 28. We'll be reading for all of those and through all of those and a couple more. The message today is entitled, What is Biblical Missions? We were supposed to have our missions conference this weekend, but unfortunately that changed due to the coronavirus, and it has been postponed till sometime maybe in the fall. But in lieu of the fact that it was supposed to be missions, this is the end of our Faith Promise Missions year, I wanted to preach on missions this week and next. So this is sort of a part A and a part B on what is biblical missions. Today we're going to look at the purpose of missions and the instruments of missions. So Mark 16 and verse 15. And he, that is Jesus, said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for what it tells us about you and all that you've done for us. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that it gives us, that you give us, to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ in this world, to be witnesses for Christ, to proclaim the good news of the gospel, that others might be saved and become part of your family and kingdom. Lord, I pray that you bless the service today, for those that are here and those that are watching. We pray, Lord, that you would use your word in our heart and life. Lord, give us understanding. Lord, convict us. Lord, challenge us in your service and bring souls to Jesus Christ. We do pray. In Jesus' name, amen. A kind of an introductory verse here that will take us into later the purpose and the instruments of missions. But we start out here with the proclamation of the gospel. We are told here that we are to preach. The word preach is not specific to preachers. The word preach here is keruso in the Greek. The word means to herald or to proclaim. You don't have to be an ordained minister or preacher in order to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And what is that good news? Well, that good news is this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came, died on the cross for our sins, rose again from the dead, and offers salvation to all who will receive Him as Lord and Savior by faith. That is the good news. The good news is God loves you so much, He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. That is the good news that we are to be proclaiming as the children of God. This is the command that He gave to His disciples and also, therefore, to us. Now, here is my question. Why? Why are we to proclaim the good news? Why should we be doing this? Well, you say, Pastor, well, isn't that kind of obvious? People are sinners. And if they don't know about Christ, if they haven't heard the word, it says in Romans 10, then they can't put their faith in the message, the Son of God, Jesus Christ of the Word, and they can't be saved. So in order to keep people out of the lake of fire, we need to be telling them about the good news of Jesus Christ so they can be saved. And that is true. However, it's not only about our love and compassion for the lost about us, but the reason, or another reason, that we need to be proclaiming the gospel is out of love, obedience, and service to the King who has commissioned us. It's not just about others. It's not just about the loss. It's not just about our compassion or pity for them. But it's also about the one who has commissioned us to be His witnesses, Jesus Christ the King. This is why we must be proclaiming the Word of God, the purpose of missions. Look, if you would, in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Okay, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And we're going to look at a few passages of Scripture, Scripture dealing with these. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, what did Jesus say to his disciples? He said, when the Holy Ghost comes, I want you to go back to Jerusalem. This is just as Christ ascended, just before he went up into heaven. He said to his disciples, you go back to Jerusalem, you wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit, who will empower you in my service as my what? As my witnesses. We are witnesses to the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We are witnesses to his work of redemption upon the cross and his resurrection from the grave. No, we were not there, but through eyes of faith, we see. Through eyes of faith, we know him. We know the word that he has given to us of the eyewitnesses that were there. And we know what Jesus has done for us. We have personally experienced his power to save us from sin and death and hell, and have seen him do it also in the lives of others. That makes us what? Witnesses. We are witnesses to the veracity, that is, the truthfulness and the power of what? The Word of God and the gospel to save and to transform lives, beginning with our own. We too are witnesses, and we have been called as witnesses for Christ. And what do witnesses do? Well, you say, Pastor, well, witnesses witness. No, that's not what witnesses do. Witnesses testify as to what they have witnessed. That is what a witness is. When you call a witness into a trial, the witness is there to share what he has witnessed. That means to testify as to what he saw or experienced. A witness serves no purpose if he does not share what he or she has witnessed. I was standing out here by Missouri Avenue, I don't know, probably about 10 years ago. I and one of the deacons, and we were standing by the church sign. I think maybe we were working on it, I'm not sure. Or maybe he was working and I was watching, I don't know. But anyway, we were standing there, and all of a sudden we heard this engine roar behind us, and somebody had pulled out a fairly new red Camaro from a couple driveways back, and they pulled out and they floored it, and they wanted to make this light right here at the intersection. So roar, they went past us, and we turned to look, and about that time they ran right into a car in the intersection. Some poor fella was turning left, coming up Missouri Avenue, getting on Bel Air to go west, and he pulled right in front of this Camaro flying to make the light. Fortunately, it seemed that neither of them were injured terribly badly, but eventually the police came, and we told the policeman what we saw. Why? Because we were what? We were witnesses to what happened. Fortunately, we didn't have to testify further. Evidently, he thought it was a clean and cut case, so to speak. But we told him what we saw. We testified as witnesses. We have been privileged with the task of testifying before others of the person Jesus Christ, to testify that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords, who as King and Savior offers people the opportunity by grace through faith to become the children of God and heirs of His kingdom. John 1, 11 and 12. It says, He, that is Jesus, came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. John 3, 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, that's Nicodemus, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The good news we are to proclaim is this, that everyone who receives Christ as Lord and Savior becomes a member, is born into God's what? Family. And becomes an heir of His kingdom. And He is the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. The only way to be reunited with God, the only way to become part of His family, the only way to become part of His kingdom, to ever see it or enter into it, is through faith in Jesus Christ. That is the good news that we are to proclaim. And thus we proclaim the gospel. And as we do, we are offering people via God's love the opportunity to a new life in Christ and a new home in heaven, to be subjects of His kingdom. Missions is about introducing to Jesus, introducing people to Jesus the Savior and King, that they might be delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His marvelous light. Colossians 1, 12 through 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, or fit, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Redemption, meaning Christ has bought us back from sin and death and hell by the shedding of His blood on the cross of Calvary. And He has transferred our citizenship from the kingdom of darkness and sin and Satan into the kingdom of Jesus Christ and eternal life. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are doing our ordained part to build the eternal kingdom of Christ. And no, we're not Jehovah's Witnesses. We are not trying to earn ourselves a place in the kingdom. We are already in by faith in Jesus. But others are not. And they need to hear the good news so they can be also. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And we're going to begin reading in verse 18. Again, before Jesus departed to go back to His Father, He gave here to His disciples what we call the Great Commission. Now, oftentimes when people give you the Great Commission, they start in verse 19. But I want to jump back one verse and start in verse 18. So we understand the context in which this is given, who it is that's giving it, and why we are to do it. Verse 18 says, And Jesus came and spake unto them, His disciples, saying, All power, that word for power is exousia in the Greek, it means authority. All power or authority is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, who is speaking? Jesus Christ. Who is he speaking to? His disciples, the representatives of the church. And he is commanding them. That's why he says, all power or all authority is given unto me. And as all authority is due the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is commanding his subjects to do something. What is he commanding them to do? Number one, to teach. That is, to make disciples of all nations. They are to proclaim the what? The gospel. And in so doing, when others receive Jesus Christ by faith, they become Jesus Christ's disciples, his followers, believers, and servants or subjects of the King, Jesus Christ. They are commanded to make disciples from all nations. They are commanded to signify their entrance into God's kingdom and rebirth into his family through the ordinance of baptism. Now, I pointed back there because there's a baptistry behind the curtain, if you don't know. Okay? And he commanded them to signify the entrance of believers into the kingdom of Christ through the ordinance of baptism. Now, you can get baptized 100 times, but if you haven't put your faith in Christ, it will not do anything for you but get you wet. But it is the sign that has been given that we are to follow for those who have come to faith in Christ, that they might publicly identify themselves as subjects of the King, children of God, and believers in Jesus. And number three, Christ commanded them to continue to teach those who believe all things which they had learned of Christ through his teaching. And we are to do the same. We are to continue to teach one another generation by generation what we have learned of Christ through his word and by the power of his Spirit until the end of the age or world as we know it. The 12 apostles are not here. The task then falls to who? The task falls to us. It falls to us. It's not about you or your reputation or your ability or goals or ambitions. Missions is about Christ, our King, who has sent us forth to sow the seed of the gospel in the hearts of men that they might receive entrance by faith into his eternal kingdom. You serve a higher commission and a greater commissioner than human government or teachers or bosses or parents. You have been commissioned by the King to help build his kingdom. What an honor has been bestowed upon us to be the ambassadors of Jesus Christ to this world, to build his kingdom in the hearts of men through the gospel. Thus we see point number two, not just the purpose, but the instruments. And who are the instruments? The instruments are us. We are his instruments that he uses to bring people into his kingdom through heralding, proclaiming his message. Imperfect instruments, yes, but the ones of God's choosing. You say, why? Why did God do it this way? Why did Jesus go back to heaven and hand the baton to us and tell us it's our turn and tell us to take the message? Couldn't he have just stayed here? Why did he do it this way? To display his grace and power through us. to be glorified in us, His children. That's at least part of it. Not entirely sure, but then again, God doesn't have to explain Himself to me. It is what He has chosen to use us. John 15:16. Jesus said to His disciples, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you." Jesus said, "I send you forth, I've chosen you, I've sent you into the world to be a light, to be salt, to proclaim the message of the gospel, that others may come, and I'll do the rest." But He also promises here that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. That is, anything you need to fulfill the task, Jesus says, "I will provide it." Say, how can we be ambassadors for Jesus Christ? How can we represent Him? How can we fulfill such a great task? We can do it in the power of God, in the power of the Spirit, by His grace, as He gives us whatever we need to fulfill it if we ask. John 20:21, Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you." As the Father hath sent me, so send I you. What was Jesus saying? Well, the Father sent the Son to earth to do what? To die on the cross for our sins, to make a way of salvation through faith in His shed blood. Did Jesus fulfill the task? Yes, He did. As He hung there on the cross, just before He gave up the ghost, He said, "It is what? Finished." And He did His part. And He took my sin upon Himself and all the penalty thereof. And now He says, "As the Father sent me, now send I you." He has handed the baton to us, and then He went back where? To heaven. With the promise that with whatever we need to fulfill the task He has given us, He will give it, imperfect though we may be. Look, if you would, over in 1 Corinthians 1. Turn, if you would, over a few pages, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This passage always gives me a little bit of comfort. It reassures me as to why God called me and not somebody else. 1 Corinthians 1:26. 1 Corinthians 1:26. He says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Why did God choose you? Why did He choose me? To bring glory to who? To bring glory to Him. It is by His grace, not on our own merit. It is by His power, and it is according to His will. And I trust Him. He chose Peter, a rough fisherman with a big mouth and a short temper and a tendency to overconfidence in himself. And he made him one of the greatest preachers that ever was. He chose Levi, or you may know him as Matthew, a tax collector, a government-sanctioned thief. That's what Levi was. A sellout to Rome for the easy life and hated by his countrymen. And he made him a great disciple and a writer of the Gospel of Matthew. He took Saul, a well-educated lawyer and teacher, but at first a rejecter of Christ and a zealous tormentor of Christians, and made him the greatest missionary of all, to the glory of God. He took Mary, a poor Galilean girl, to be the mother of Jesus' humanity. Why did he choose who he chose? He chose them according to his will and grace. And he never makes what? Mistakes. And he has also chosen you. And he doesn't make what? And he doesn't make mistakes. He chose you. And you by faith became his child. And therefore a representative of him on earth. He has sent you, or will send you, if you will go. He will equip you, and he is equipping you for the task that he asks of you. He equips us with his Spirit. He equips us with his Word. He equips us with spiritual gifts and talents and personal experiences that are unique to us, that are to be used in his service to his glory and to bring souls into his what? Into his kingdom. And then he uses us, if we will let him. You were not chosen because you and yourself are worthy or have certain gifts or talents which make you the perfect instrument. No, you have the perfect Lord. Christ chose you by grace to be his servant, and by his grace he will equip you and help you to do your part in testifying to his grace and power in reaching souls for Christ and in building his kingdom. Thus we, as Paul identified himself in 2 Corinthians 5, are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. This means we represent him, his interests, and his kingdom in this world. So whether you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, or wheresoever you go, you represent your God and your new home, and so you need to act accordingly. I am not Rick Poehler, the resident of Florida, born in the native of Virginia. I am a child of God, and I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And I think, sadly, this has been mostly lost upon an entire generation of Christians. We are so happy to escape the pit of hell, but we do not sense the responsibilities which are ours as the ambassadors of heaven. Praise God, Jesus plucked us from the fires of hell. But now we are citizens of his kingdom. And now as we live our life here, we represent him and we serve his interest. Paul put it this way, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is Paul, but that should also be me and you. We are his ambassadors. We should be holy as He is holy. He's commanded that, by the way. We should demonstrate love and kindness as He demonstrates His love and kindness to others. We are here to testify of His deity, His work on the cross, His resurrection from the tomb, and His offer to bring people into His kingdom and deliver them out of the power of Satan and hell into eternal life and the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You are His instrument. What kind of instrument are you in His endeavor? What kind of instrument are you in His hand? Are you a faithful instrument? A humble instrument? A useful instrument? Are you a submissive instrument? A zealous instrument? Or a slothful or complacent instrument? Or a distracted or selfish instrument? Or a useless one? You see, if you are a child of God, you are His what? You are His instrument. But what kind of instrument are you? He saved us that we might bring glory to His name, His power, and His grace upon this earth. Instruments in the hands of the King to build His kingdom, to proclaim His word, and to save souls through the proclamation of the gospel. Two questions as we close today. Question number one. Have you answered His call to salvation? He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Have you come to Him in faith? Have you bowed humbly before Him and confessed Him as Lord and Savior to forgive your sins and to become part of His family? If you haven't, you can today. If you will just receive Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross, you too can become a child of God. Question number two. Have you answered, Christian, have you answered His call to service, to missions, to take part in building the kingdom of God? What are you doing to help? Who have you spoken to, handed a tract to, or invited to church recently? For this He has sent us, commissioned us, and called us to missions. Whether it be across the street or around the world, we are missionaries for Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the opportunity, the great privilege that it is to help to build the kingdom of Jesus Christ by proclaiming Your word to a lost world that You wish to save. Lord, help us to not be so distracted by the things of this life. Help us not to be complacent with that which is so vitally important and is eternal in nature. Lord, give us a burden for souls. And Lord, give us a burden to obey and love and serve our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who has called us to this task. And Lord, we pray if there's one listening, watching today, that's never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we pray that they would come to You by faith, that they would humbly bow their heart to you and by faith would call on Jesus Christ who died on the cross for them and rose again to be the Lord and Savior of their life. I pray, Lord, that you would save one today who may be watching this and bring them to you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity. Lord, help us each day to see the need of being ambassadors for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. To close, I'd like, if you would, to take our hymn books and turn to 440. 440. And let's sing, "I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go." 440.